It's Candy O 742. Stand by, Mariah Carey next.
I would rather be in the field of animation. You know, feel like I could be myself, yet someone different at the same time.
Bringing a world perspective to today's news.
Why voiceover? It's powerful, it's creative, it's cool.
Oh yes, voiceover is cool, but it's not as cool as talking shop with Dan Lothian and Law Lapidus.
What's that? It should be Law Lapidus first, then Dan Lothian?
Eh, they'll fix it in post. This is Mic, Camera, Action.
All right, so I will say this.
I'll say
bottom line right at the beginning of the show. I do think it's really, really important to hold the door for other people.
Ah, nice etiquette.
I just think that that tells so much about a person. If they think to stop and hold the door, it doesn't matter where they are or what circumstance they're in, whether they're on a date, whether they're at a train station, or whether they're at the department store. And it, of course, it's not an electric door. It's a door that, right?
Yeah, if you're there holding an electric door, then they're going to lock you up.
I wouldn't hold an electric door. That would be a little...
That's right. Oh, here you go.
All right, that's a little nutty
that's the
right
lazy
there.
Holding of the door, right?
But what, you know, how do you feel about that? That's like basic etiquette 101, right?
It's funny you should ask. So this was several years ago, probably 10 or more years ago, when I always grew up holding the door for a woman who comes by, you know, coming behind me. I did that, and I got dressed down by a woman who thought that, you know, we had moved beyond those times where a man needed to hold the door open for a woman and says, I can hold my own door. And so for the longest time, I stopped doing it. But I feel that it's a matter of courtesy. And I think women should look at it as something that is special. And I do it for men as well. If I see someone coming behind me, you know, I'm not going to just walk through and let the door. There's sort of this unwritten rule within a certain distance. So if they're like maybe 3 to 5 feet behind
you.
Oh,
is there? I don't know about that rule at
all. Wikipedia doesn't have it.
Okay, that's a PC rule. I don't know about that rule.
It's the Dan Lothian holding door policy 101.
Okay, we have to have a certain amount of seconds.
Right, right. It could be seconds or feet within that someone's behind you.
Okay,
If they're way down the hall or around a corner, unless they're elderly or something like that, then you just walk right through and let the door hit them.
Okay, so this is interesting to me. So you have in your mind specific rules based on who the audience is.
Well,
in a way,
sort
how
of.
Much etiquette.
Oh, yeah, it's a sliding etiquette scale.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So it could be gender etiquette, it could be age etiquette, it could be, you know, physically challenged etiquette, right?
Yeah.
So it's different.
Right.
Based on who that audience is. That's really fascinating.
But I would lean toward, you know, mostly always holding the door. Certainly always for women. Mm-hmm. Mostly for men if they're within a certain amount of feet from me. And then someone with a disability or a senior citizen 100% of the time.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes the people will give you that eye. The women will give you that eye. Like, I can handle the door myself, but I'm going to do what I believe is right.
So this is like good etiquette against your will.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I will hold that door for you, whether you
like it
or not.
Or not. So how does all of this translate to the media business, to entertainment, to journalism? I mean, what are some ways that we see etiquette or certain protocols played out in our industry?
I think there's so many. You know, if you pay attention to this detail, you're going to notice it all day long. Mm-hmm. For instance, you know, when we run up to our studio in New York, one of the things that just comes to my mind is we're pressing the button for the elevator because we're on the 6th floor. And I always think to myself, just in that moment of pressing the button, the door opens, I feel compelled to keep that door open for as many people as I need to, even if I'm in a rush.
Oh, wow.
And now they have that button where it has like the little arrows
right, you
that
can close
point
it.
Out.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you can
yeah,
hold
yeah.
it
if
open
I'm in a rush, I'm closing
for people.
That door.
And they may get annoyed at me. They may look at me on the elevator like, close the door.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? But I feel compelled to do it because there's a part of me that always thinks there may be someone in that elevator that I'm about to have a meeting with. Or someone I'm going to be working with.
Yeah.
And just that unwritten act of kindness just will just will float over them. You know, that becomes habit.
Well,
that
really does become too busy. Habit. I'm too busy putting together my elevator pitch. So, boom, boom.
Ba-dum, boom.
So I don't have time to hit the elevator button. I'm there. Did I do that? Did I do that between floor one and two? Did I do it? Did I get it right? Let me practice again between floor two and three.
But let me ask you this question, Dan, because there's so many unanswered questions. When you're at work, when you're at your studio, mm-hmm. right, you have... you know, X amount of people on your team that right. may be in the office that you see on a regular basis.
We don't have an elevator, though.
You don't have an elevator, but stairs. If you're going to, let's say hypothetically, you're going to run out to get a coffee mm. or a latte. I know you have a coffee maker, but yeah. let's say that you want a specific one.
Right.
When you run out, are you going to check in with your coworkers to see if they want anything?
Yeah, 100% of the time.
100% of the time.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure, for the most part.
Now this is why I work with Dan.
Yeah, I will always say I'm running out. And I think my colleagues do the same thing. Hey, I'm running out. In fact, just the other day, we have a lovely Asian restaurant right next mm-hmm. door to our office.
Mm.
And maybe they'll become a sponsor of the show as well. Mm-hmm. And they, you notice
You're
this
the
pattern
best.
That I have? Yeah, really great food. They have a really wonderful lunch special. Mm-hmm. But anyway, one of my colleagues was running over there. He goes, Dan, is there anything that I can get you? Mm-hmm. And I thought about it and said no. And then I thought, wait a minute. He just offered to get me something. So I said yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I did take some. And I do that. I tend to, before I run out, I'll just ask. You know, sometimes I'm not sure I really want anyone to ask me for it because I don't want to bring back a handful of coffees or whatever it might be.
But Dan, here's the question, though.
I do it out of just courtesy.
And you're a great guy.
Thank
and that
you.
Means a lot. But here's the reality.
Yes.
You may have two or three people there, but what if you work in a department and there's 25 people
Well, you're
in
not
department?
You're not going to say it over the intercom. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Lothian's headed out.
We Would might you say like it over to, the intercom.
No, you kind of use it. You look around. Right, exactly. Exactly.
I was just in back of a woman over at Dunk's, and the poor thing had her texting on her phone going down the list of everything that everyone wanted.
Yeah, you don't
and
want
she
to
kept
get behind
looking
that person.
At me, apologizing, and I said, it's okay. You're a good woman, better than most. And yeah. everyone wanted, you know, a latte and milk and sugar and
No. It has to be, you have to say, there has to be a limit, you know, so you can establish a protocol. You ask, hey, Jim, I'm going out. Hey, Mary. And then you run out before 10 other people come running up and ask you to get something. So,
well, here's one of the unwritten rules, and I've experienced this quite frequently at studios or classes that I've taught, where people will stay and wait for you if you're locking up or one of the last ones to go out to walk you to your car and walk you to the garage. And I, for one, immensely appreciate
Well, that's
that.
How I met my wife, actually.
Ooh, do tell. Yeah. Romance and etiquette.
I won't tell you about the whole thing, but yeah, I mean, she worked the 11 o'clock shift, and I would always, hey, you know, I'll walk you out to your car. And one day we just kept on walking. So, but we won't talk about that story right now.
So etiquette
that was many years
means
ago.
You may get a date.
You may
get a wife.
Exactly.
That's really
But
exciting.
Etiquette also comes into helping you along in your career. And one of the things that I've always done, even to this day in electronic communication, where we tend to rely heavily on texts or emails, after I have a meeting, I love to send a handwritten note. It doesn't have to be a long note. It will be a simple thank you for that meeting. I hope we can continue to have a discussion, or I'd love to you know, communicate again or connect again down the road. I always have either some note cards with my initial on it, or it's something with a company stamp on it or something. And I attended several months ago. I went to a meeting downtown Boston, and the person I was meeting with, well-known individual with a big name in this area, and he said how much he appreciates that kind of thing, which I said, well, I've always done that. And then I followed up the meeting with a note card and thanking that
person. That's wonderful. That's very old school.
I never heard from them again, but that's okay. I was listening. Exactly. there
that's
you go.
That's okay. Yeah. And I've seen a lot of offices, you know, if I go into partnered agencies, where they'll have those handwritten cards mm-hmm. hanging on the wall
yeah.
or sitting on their desk or somewhere around. They're apt not to get rid of them
right,
quite
right.
as quickly as you think that they would because they receive so few.
Right.
So few.
Well, I'll tell you, and this is not to be done just for name dropping's sake, but as you know, I covered the White House for many years, and my mother had passed away. And President Obama found out about this and actually sent me a handwritten note. Now, a lot of times he will, somebody will type something up and it'll be auto-signed or maybe he'll sign mm-hmm. it. You don't really know. Mm-hmm. But this was a note that specifically had been, you know, written by him. And of course, it's the President of the United States, so you're going to save it anyway.
Right.
But it showed that even in his busy schedule that he took the time to send this note. Hey, the President, we're not friends. You know, I worked covering the White House. It was just a courtesy that he extended during a time of loss for me and my family. And so whether it's something like that, you'd be surprised the kind of goodwill that something like that can instill
that's class,
in a person,
Dan. That
right?
is class all the way.
And so, you know, and that can happen in companies and so forth. You could do a note to someone, send a note to someone who's just middle management or not even there yet. Mm-hmm. And years later, you know, I believe that those are the kinds of things that they'll remember when you go looking for that job.
Yeah.
It's the thing that could, you know,
it's so true. Though there is, I'll tell you, there is an argument for all the folks who wouldn't send a handwritten note because
they can't write.
They're not learning cursive in school anymore.
The lost art.
And literally are not used to holding a pen or holding a pencil in their hand. But for all the ones who are, I'm with you on that. I completely advise clients to go that extra mile and don't do it, you know, from an opportunist mentality to get something in return. Just do it because that's just the way you roll. That's just the kind of person that you are. And it's very memorable when you do something like that. I'll even go so far as to say, you know, if you have an important interview or you have an audition or you work a gig with someone, you know, think about, if you get to know them at all, think about what they might like to have on their desk. Give them something simple. Of course, it could be a promotional item that has your name or your
right.
logo on it. Sure, why not? But, you know, when we do our events, we'll host a big showcase in New York, and we'll invite this wonderful panel of agents and casting directors. And one of the things I do quite oftentimes is I will bring them each a gift. And I'll bring them a gift specifically, not only so they won't forget about us, but also something that I know on a daily basis they'll be able to look at or use and say, wow, you know, someone thought of me.
Right.
Because
right.
very rarely are people thinking about them. They're thinking about, you know, what can you do for me? You haven't called me recently. I haven't gotten
exactly.
a job from you recently, right? and that's a really big deal.
Right.
It's a really big deal to people.
Well, this story has absolutely nothing to do with how etiquette can help you in your career. But keeping along the lines of the last story that I told, I just started working at the White House and covering the White House. And there was an event that we had been invited in for, not on the coverage side, but just to sort of a meet and greet kind of thing. And you could sit in the chairs of the, you know, the various rooms in the White House, whether it's the East Room or one of the other variously colored rooms. I think, well, you know, one's the blue room or the green room or the red room. And
yeah.
so we sat down in all the chairs. And so flash forward to a few days later where I'm actually working an event. There's a media event there. And I went over and plopped down in one of these chairs. And the White House butler sort of came over to me, and he wanted to figure out just how to, you know, say just
right.
the right way.
How to kick you out.
Exactly. He basically told me you can't sit in this furniture when you're working. It was interesting because it was the same chair that you could sit in, you know, a few days ago when you were invited in. But when you were working, the etiquette was...
Your role had shifted,
my
right?
role had shifted, and now I had to stand up.
Mm.
So it just shows the importance of etiquette and understanding what
yes.
that etiquette is. This has nothing to do with advancing your career, but it highlights the importance of
I actually think it has a lot to do with it, because it's really what you did, Dan, was you went into an environment, and in that particular context, you suddenly realized you had to behave differently.
Ah, there you go.
It was the same environment.
Leave it to law to figure out the redeeming quality of my story.
Oh, well, thank you so much. But I mean, that really has to do with all of us. It's like when I walked into a studio, for instance, is that a studio I've been in before? Is that a new studio? Mm-hmm. And how I behave in that studio is based on what role I am playing in that day.
Right.
You know, we'll often say, you know, when you walk into a new studio, for instance, don't touch anything. Don't touch any equipment. Don't touch anything other than your own water bottle or whatever you're bringing in with you. Because there's an ownership to space. There's an ownership to environment. There's an ethos relationship in what is surrounding you. It's like an interview, right? Like a business interview. When you go into someone's office, you know, don't put your cup on their desk. Don't touch anything.
Don't put your feet
theirs.
Up on their desk.
Yeah, right. We see that a lot. People just don't realize the fine lines of etiquette.
Right.
You know, and that says a lot about a person.
And I think it's important for you to ask ahead of time before you go into a meeting. You know, are there certain things that I should know? You know, is there a certain outfit that I need to wear? Are there certain colors that I should stay away from because, you know, there's some international,
sure.
you know, different folks around the table who may view certain colors or certain mm-hmm. things as offensive. And you may not care about it personally, but if you're looking to get a job or to, you know, get some sort of partnership done, it may be difficult if you don't pay attention to some of the etiquette rules.
Yes, and how you're affecting that audience
exactly.
is going to be a direct indication of your future relationship with them.
Exactly. I mean, just last week, I was in New York City, and we were, through one of my companies, looking to form a partnership with an interesting startup. And so the first thing I asked was, knowing that most technology startup companies, you know, the CEOs are in their 20s, mm-hmm. I said, so how old is this CEO? Going and trying to do my reconnaissance work ahead of time. And I was told that this person was about 28 years old. And so then mm-hmm. I looked down at what I had on and I thought, okay, I have a blazer on with a button-down shirt. Maybe I did not wear the right outfit for the day.
Right,
and,
right.
And so as I was walking up into the office, I said to the person who knew this other one, you know, I think I may have overdressed for this event. And this person told me, well, actually, when that CEO is meeting with more grown-up individuals, more experienced mm-hmm. individuals, he typically will wear a suit. And so I went right again. Everybody was sort of feeling out. They understood that there's certain things that you do not. Some people just don't care,
right?
And they'll
right.
just show up however right. they show up. But I think it there is an advantage. There is something to be gained to if you pay attention to what are the rules, you know, what are some etiquette guidelines that you can follow that might just give you the edge. And in this case, it ended up that, you know, this particular day, he was so busy doing some other stuff, he did not come dressed up. And and I wasn't really overdressed.
And of course, if you dress in layers, you can always
take stuff off. As
right?
you sit down,
easily.
Well, I just came from Wall Street, so let me take off
and
that tie.
And there goes the tie.
That's right. And then it's a little warm, and you open, and then you have your Superman T-shirt underneath.
There you go.
So, but
you're
no,
all set.
It just shows that, you know, even at this juncture of my career, I'm still paying attention to issues around etiquette, you know, like how should I dress or what should I say? What should I be paying attention
yeah,
to?
Yeah, here's another one for you too. If someone offers you something, like you're in a meeting, right, at a new company, and an assistant comes in and offers you some coffee, take it. Accept it.
Even if you don't want it.
Even if you don't drink
right,
coffee.
Right.
And why do I say that? Because the emotional rapport that you're building, not only with that individual person, but with the team that you're meeting with, there's something deeply psychological about you coming in and saying, yes, I will take part in what you have to give me.
Oh, yes,
even if
yeah.
it's something as simple as a cup of water.
Take the water, even if you just drank a gallon.
Yeah. The knee-jerk reaction for people is, no thanks, I'm all set.
As long as they have a bathroom, go ahead and drink the
water. Yeah, no, I'm all right. I don't need anything. But really, ask yourself the question, is it about you?
Right.
Or is it about how you can come in and work with us and satisfy our needs and bring us what you need to bring us for our team, right? And part of that is just in culture, environment, etiquette, all of that. Good stuff. You know, you're going to be someone we want to go to lunch with.
Right. Well, several years ago, I was traveling in the Middle East on business, covering the situation in around Israel and Gaza and the West Bank. And one of the things that I became very familiar with, and actually this happened even when I was in Egypt, not long after 9/11, the big thing was that before you could get an interview, oftentimes you had to sit down and have tea. It was a custom. You went over someone's home, and I'm from the, you know, I'm wired to go rolling in with your cameras. Let's talk. Let's get this on tape. Let's get out of here. And they were more,
awesome.
Let's sit down. This is what we do. We drink tea together. What is it that you'd like to talk about? And then you conduct the interview. So there was this protocol. There was this this etiquette that happened, and you had to buy into it in order to be effective in the job that you were doing. And so it really required you to pay attention to those things. And we often don't get in that sense, unless we're overseas. But we should be thinking about that even when you're, you know, in your own community. Mm-hmm. What are some ways that I can pay attention to etiquette? I can follow a few steps here that could probably help me get a job or land a gig or whatever it might be.
It's
that
a big deal.
After.
It also helps to define you as a person, as a well-rounded, diverse person, and to pull you out of your ways, to pull you out of your box, you know, to see how other people live, how other people, you know, converse, how other people do business. It's a very, you have to look at it as an adventure. Etiquette is an adventure.
It
when
is.
You look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It may or may not make you comfortable, but it makes the other people comfortable that you're dealing with.
I think we should put together. I think we should put together the media etiquette pamphlet.
I love that.
Maybe we'll put that together.
We'll start with Brendan and his top 10 tips. The first one is, at our studio, he always has to bring me a donut and coffee. That's what makes me comfortable.
And anytime he answers to a request, he has to say, yes, ma'am.
Every time I leave the room, I have to do a little
genuflex.
Oh, my God.
That's right. It's like the queen here, ladies and gentlemen. No, but these are all, look, we're having a lot of fun here, and that's what this show is all about. But it's also about offering up some tips that whether you're just thinking about starting out your career, you've been in your career for a while, you've been in your career forever, you can find something here that can, you know, help you out, that can give you a little bit of a little boost, perhaps, and help you land that role or whatever.
That's right. And you don't even have to be in the driver's position. You may not be the person employing or, you know, auditioning. You may be the person who is being auditioned.
Yeah.
But what can you offer them?
Right.
When you meet them, what can you be offering them? Whether it's your marketing materials, your business tools, whether they're coming into your space, your environment, you're offering them, you know, a bottle of water. What can you be offering that other person to make them comfortable, but also to make them understand you and how you work
exactly.
a little bit better?
That's right. And if you're going to follow my tip of always sending out a little handwritten card, then maybe sign up for a class to learn how to write.
would be a good start.
Yeah, or just start practicing, you know, and maybe learn one line and use that line. That's all you can do. And you say, oh, I have sloppy hand. Yeah, I don't know that I would ever complain, unless you just simply can't read it. I would not complain about someone's handwriting.
No, I would
if
not
they
either.
Sent me something. If someone sends me a card, and someone just did the other day, and they thanked me for meeting with them, I usually hang on to those cards, because I put that in a file with the person and say, okay, they took the time to send me a card, And so that moves them up the list a little
Me
bit.
Me too. I actually frame them. I put them in big frames. You know, we have all these incredible thank you cards.
Oh, that's what's in your office. I saw that. That's what it is.
I love those. And, you know, we talked about inspiration before. I'm telling you, that is a big moment of inspiration for me when I suddenly forget what I'm doing and who I am and where I am. And Brendan has to, like, spin me around physically and put me back at my desk. I look over at those boards of cards that people took the time to buy those cards, write them out, maybe put their photograph on it and send it over to me. That keeps me going. That's right. A big deal.
Well, look, anyone can fire off an email, but it takes a little bit more work to pick out the right card, to grab a pen, to grab a second pen because the ink usually is not running in the first pen you pick up, and then to think of what you're going to write, and then to write it, and then to get a stamp on it, which, by the way, the stamp now has gone down in price, so we've been getting ripped off for the last few months. Can you believe that? The stamp price actually went down
because
from 49 to 47.
Everyone's emailing.
Exactly.
Everyone's
so
online.
There's some incentive. Yeah. So get the stamp and then lick the envelope and then go somewhere to mail it. It's a process. It took time to do, but I think that when you do something like that, it stands out. And
I love it.
It could help you.
I love it. One more tip for the road I'm going to give. Smile.
Ah.
Unless it doesn't fit within the culture that you're in and it's inappropriate and you can do the homework on that, smile and be nice, because not only will that make someone else's day, and especially if you're building a rapport with them, they're going to think, wow, they have great etiquette and they made me feel really, really good. It'll make you feel good. When you smile, you will emotionally feel better.
Wow.
And you'll think about etiquette when you do that.
So put etiquette on your resume and it might help you land a job.
There you go.
So then I was like, do you want to see my Neumann?
Dude, we're still rolling.
What? They're still listening? Don't these people have homes?
Well, since you're still with us, check us out at lalapitascompany.com and littleparkmedia.com and look for Media Monster, the Learning Hub programs. Everything from coaching to podcasts to media events and very cool and necessary seminars and workshops.
By the way, did that lazy tech director ever fix the intro on post?